We're recording.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it showing up?
Yeah.
Do I look hot?
Look sexy as fuck.
No, I'm talking about my audio.
Oh. No.
Okay, good.
In a good way. Okay. Let's clap.
Okay, clap on 3, 1, 2.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your just realized that my credit cards have tons of perks that I am not taking advantage of. Frozen watermelon chunks are my new favorite treat. Blackbird on Apple TV is the best show ever, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your AC exhausting, cat shaving. Most of my clothes are packed up and I am wearing the same three things, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
how to protect yourself from alien abductions.
Oh, you know what, Bethany? This is something that people actually really need to know.
I was listening to an episode of Coast to Coast AM, which you know I love.
Yeah.
And it was an old episode, and they had this woman on named Anne Druffel. And Anne is from California, born and raised, but she has somehow a Midwestern accent. And she has discovered many different ways that people aren't thinking about to defend themselves against alien abductions.
Oh.
Because she says a lot of the things the aliens want to do to you aren't wholesome. So I'm going to give you some tips and tricks for if the green aliens come in, or the grays more accurately, or maybe the Nordics come into your room and try to take you in the night.
Is one of the tips plug all your holes?
Plug them all up.
So they can't probe you?
Plug them and tighten them. What about you, Kathleen? What are you talking about?
So I am revisiting a topic that some taste buds have reached out and asked us to talk about again. Mm-hmm. And that is revenge bedtime.
Yes. This is such a huge thing that I think a lot of people don't realize what it is or that they're doing it.
That they're doing it. Yeah. So I sort of started talking about this before media had a word for it, mm-hmm. before the term revenge bedtime was coined.
Yeah.
I talked about it in the very beginning of the pandemic. And so I want to revisit it because I've learned some coping techniques. And it's just like a good thing to open people's eyes and mind to.
And if you don't know what it is, the sleepfoundation.org said the revenge bedtime definition is the decision to delay sleep in response to stress or a lack of free time earlier in the day.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of like self-punishment too.
It is, yeah.
So very interesting. I'm glad you're talking about that.
Thank you.
Can I tell you about what just happened to me in the bathroom?
Oh, yes, please do.
So we are recording here at Audio Boom, and the bathroom on this floor, for the women at least, is small.
Yeah.
There are three stalls. There probably should be two stalls.
Yeah.
Because the sink is really, it's like crammed into a super tiny part of the bathroom. And so really there's two sinks, but you really can only use one at a time.
Yeah.
There's two sinks, but two people don't fit there.
Oh no. Were you in the bathroom with somebody else?
So I was in the bathroom with somebody else.
No.
And I'll just say she was ahead of me in the process.
Okay.
Okay. So she flushes the toilet.
Yeah.
And she gets out and she starts washing your hands.
Yes.
And the etiquette is, if you know there's someone else in the bathroom who's a little bit behind you in the process, mm-hmm. you sort of speed up and leave before they come out.
Yeah, make some noise.
Yep.
So you don't hear their business.
And you get out because the bathroom is too small for two people, right?
Too small.
So she's washing her hands and I'm like, okay, you know, this will all work out fine. I flush the toilet, do my thing. I'm ready now to wash my hands.
Yes.
But she's still washing her hands. And I'm like, okay, I'll just wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait. And I duck because I'm tall. So I show over the door. So I kind of duck down so she doesn't know who it is in case it's like someone from Audio Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's still washing her hands.
Did you pick up your feet?
No. My feet were down.
Sometimes my shoes are a dead giveaway.
Yeah. No, my feet were down.
I'm always wearing my glitter sneakers.
So now I'm trying to like do some, like make some business so that like there's a reason I'm not coming out yet.
Yeah.
So I start like, I fake blow my nose, you know, I'm making stuff happen.
Yeah.
Finally, she's still washing her hands.
Oh my God.
She's already sung happy birthday twice in her head. You know,
that is so annoying.
So finally I'm just like, I can't.
Yeah.
So I exit my stall and she's standing there gently washing her hands still.
Uh-huh.
So I start washing my hands And she's still washing her hands. So finally, she's done washing her hands. I'm like, great, we're almost there.
Yeah.
She turns to take some paper towels out of the wall.
Yeah.
And it's like an overstocked paper towel dispenser. So when you pull one, like 17 come out.
Yeah.
But instead of just going with it, she stands there and she tries to separate.
No.
Just one.
No.
So now I'm washing my hands and she's like just separating. And she's having a really hard time just separating one. Kathleen, for one solid minute.
Oh my God.
She just stood there trying to like... just get one. Just get one.
You grab a bunch, and when too many come out, you leave the rest on the countertop.
Yes, yes, exactly. You save them for someone else, or you bring them with you to your desk, and now you have napkins.
Yeah.
Just
oh my God.
Trying to get her nail in between one and the next, and I'm like,
lady,
oh my God.
Speaking of aliens, is this woman from this planet?
Do you not know the rules? We are both stuck in here together. There's no room.
Yeah.
And there's no way I can dry my hands until you're done. And she's like, just gently, just kind of like flicking at it to try to get one out. And finally she got one out.
Yeah.
And she pulls it out and she starts running it between each finger.
Oh no.
And like getting under her nails.
Yeah.
And like, I understand COVID. Absolutely. You want to keep your hands clean, but also.
Yeah.
There's some etiquette about like two bodies in this very small space.
Yeah, get the F out of the way,
and
lady.
And finally she left. And then I was just like, finish washing, grab a thing, dry my hands, and I'm out.
What stall did you use?
I used the middle stall because I'm the Beyonce of my world of the bathroom.
I always use that stall here too at Audio Boom because it's so cramped.
Yeah.
But really, we all need to be using the first stall
because
studies show that it's the cleanest.
I learned that from a Juul video on pop-up video.
There you go. Just like you need to be using or making the first manicure appointment of the day.
Everything's the cleanest. So that's what just happened. So if I sound a little... traumatized. It's just because I was in close quarters with another person who had no social awareness. And it, you know what? It was tough.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make it.
Oh my God.
And thank you for your concern.
Bethany. Can we talk about this show, Blackbird?
Yes. So what is the deal? I know nothing.
Okay. Apple TV. Do you have Apple TV?
I do not.
Okay.
I only have Acorn.
Oh,
and Amazon Prime.
I know this. Okay. Speaking of Acorn, I'll get to that later.
Oh, God.
Okay. You need to get Apple TV.
I can't afford Apple TV.
No, you absolutely can. You and Dennis can split it. It's like $5 a month, but you get the first month for free. So when Blackbird is, when all the episodes are out, I'll let you know so you can power through.
Okay.
So it is this TV show. It is right up your alley.
Okay.
It is about a well-meaning drug dealer.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's based on a true story.
Wait, really?
Yes. About a well-meaning drug dealer who gets put in federal prison because they figure out he's selling drugs, and then the FBI breaks into his house and he also has firearms.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, why does a drug dealer have firearms? To protect his drugs?
Yeah,
use them
of course.
Against,
He's well-meaning, though. Why is he selling them for people who are sick and they need to...
He was making... No, he
they
was,
need to use acid for some reason?
He was making money to support his father.
Oh.
And also he employed all of his sort of like... rough and tumble childhood friends.
Oh, all right. Right?
Well-meaning, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, he's a charming guy. I can't quite put my finger on this actor, and I really should look up his name.
Taron Egerton?
Bethany. I typically am not attracted to pretty boys, per se.
Yeah.
But he is like if Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Luke Perry had a child.
Yes.
And he was the best looking version of both of them.
Wow, you're right. Did he play Elton John in Rocket Man?
Oh, I don't know. Did he?
I think so.
I don't have my computer open in front of me right now.
Yes, he did. He sure did.
I'm podcasting fast and loose today. So he's so charming. He gets along with all of the different gangs in the federal prison. So, and I'm not giving anything away. You find this all out in the first episode.
Okay.
So the FBI is like, we have a job for you.
Oh.
You will be set free as soon as you complete this task.
Okay.
So he has 10 years in prison.
Okay.
So all he has to do is be shipped to a different state. I think it's Illinois or Indiana. It needs to live in a very high security, maximum security prison for people with mental illness.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like the real crazies.
Okay. I think that's the...
It's not really PC.
That's the sweet, empathetic term.
I mean, yeah. They're... The killer crazies.
Yeah, the real bad crazies.
Yes, and all he has to do is befriend this really very soft-spoken serial killer.
Okay.
Who blacks out when he kills.
Scary.
So he doesn't actually think that he's the one killing.
Oh.
But then he dreams all the details back.
Oh, wow.
And he probably has murdered like 20 girls and women. And they need to know where the bodies are located because he is in danger of being released.
Oh, so, okay, gotcha. And so our boyfriend, Taron Egerton.
Yes.
Is responsible for like making friends with him?
Yes.
Okay.
It is fascinating.
This feels like a bit of a spinoff of the TV show Hannibal. Did you ever watch Hannibal?
No. But we talked about it on TV shows that were canceled too soon.
Yeah. And Hannibal is like, Mr. Claire Danes is like, he feels too much.
Yeah.
He's so empathetic.
Yeah.
That he can find serial killers? ?
That's kind of like you. You can't watch sad movies because you feel too many feels.
Too many big feelings.
What about when you're watching a really sad cartoon? Is it still too hard?
I don't watch sad cartoons.
You don't watch like Pixar movies?
No.
Really?
No. I've seen the first Toy Story and that's it.
What?
No, because I can't handle it.
Yeah.
I already have a hard time like with my toys that I don't need anymore.
Yeah.
I still keep them. I keep them because what am I going to do? Throw them away?
You're almost fully moved at this point. Have you shed any tears getting rid of stuff that you can't take with you?
Not really. Mostly because I am strong-arming everything into this new house. Mm. Like, I am not getting rid of anything I truly, truly love.
Yeah.
So,
and you have more space.
More space, which is great. So no, I don't know if I could get rid of things I truly love. Like I would stack them on top of each other rather than get rid of them.
Yesterday, I sent you a text message.
Yes.
I said, Bethany, here's an address.
Yes.
They're selling everything inside the house.
Yes.
Go.
You know what? Let's talk about this in segment 4.
Okay.
Because it's awesome.
Yes.
Stay tuned. Kathleen, now that I am in a new home, I have a new kitchen.
Yes, you do.
I want this kitchen to be beautiful, and I also want to be able to have things that work and look good at the same time. And because Dennis and I will be cooking together, new life, new house, new me.
Wow.
I'm so excited that we have Caraway Home cookware.
Yes, because not only is Caraway Home's cookware non-toxic, also their baking collections are non-toxic as well. They are the most beautiful cookware that you will ever see. And I keep seeing this reel going around on Instagram where this girl is making like a quote unquote healthy dinner and her pan is so jacked up.
Oh.
It's like this Teflon. It's all scratched. And I just keep yelling at my phone, girl, get some Caraway, please.
Yeah, Caraway Home's non-toxic kitchenware is designed to be beautiful, but that also has a chemical-free ceramic coating. So your food can be prepared and you know that there's no hard-to-pronounce compounds leaching into your healthy ingredients.
Yes, I cannot get enough of my frying pan and that beautiful pink terracotta color because not only am I making healthy food in it, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, wink.
I'm not making late-night grilled cheese at all.
No, wink, wink, wink.
It just makes me so happy to see something on my stovetop that is gorgeous.
I have their fry pan and their saute pan, and we know I'm not the best cook in the world, but when I cook for myself, I tend to just throw frozen things in a panic in a pan and then run away.
Yeah.
And Caraway helps me do that, but I know the food is still going to be healthy and not get burned and weird.
Yes.
And there's a beautiful lid that I can put over the Caraway saute pan so that when I do run away, all of the heat still circulates evenly.
You know, and I have this ugly black stovetop, and when company comes over, I jazz it up by putting my Marigold Dutch oven on top. It is literally a piece of artwork. Even if I'm not cooking when company comes over,
totally.
I make sure that it's there.
By the way, over 25,000 people have raved about their Caraway kitchen, so now it is time to try it for yourself. Visit carawayhome.com/ATP to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. And this deal is exclusive for our listeners.
So all you have to do is go to carawayhome.com/ATP or use the code ATP at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. Bethany, I want to revisit a topic that we touched upon in late 2020.
Oh, great. I'm trying to remember. It's sweet because I don't remember last night. So the fact that I'm pretending that I would remember what we talked about is bless my own heart.
So I talked about revenge bedtime procrastination.
Yes, that's right.
And back then, I didn't even have like a real term for it because it was still sort of new and bubbling up, a concept that people were just starting to grasp onto.
Right.
And I think I only figured out the name for it when we were talking about it and I Googled something and the name came up. And so we've been asked by a bunch of Taste Buds to sort of touch upon this again. And I remember after I talked about it in 2020, in January of 2021, Glamour did an article on it and I was like, look at me.
You're a trendsetter.
Glamour's just copying what's inside of my brain.
We've known for a long time that Glamour magazine listens to our podcast and then just poaches our topic because they're always talking about conspiracy theories.
They are. Okay, so if you're like, revenge bedtime procrastination, what is that? It is when you stay up late at night to get some me time instead of going to bed at a reasonable, healthy hour.
Right.
In doing so, you are getting revenge on your busy schedule throughout the day. And in turn, you feel like you get extra downtime or leisure time, all at the expense of your sleeping hours.
So it's basically like, if you feel like you don't have control of your own schedule during the day, you don't have any time for yourself, you stay up late even though you're exhausted because you're mad that you didn't get any time for yourself during the day.
Yes. And I started really recognizing the signs of revenge bedtime procrastination in myself in 2020 when Neil and I were together 24/7 in our small apartment. And I was staying up late at night because after he went to bed, that was the only time that I had to myself.
Gotcha. Oh, so did you? So you didn't do this before the pandemic?
No, I didn't do this before the pandemic.
Interesting.
And I think for a lot of people and our taste buds that requested that we talk about it again, it was definitely triggered by the pandemic for them as well.
Okay, cool.
I mean, because, man, 700 square feet and I don't, there's no way to get alone time.
No.
Do you remember when I asked Neil to go spend like 24 hours at his mom's house and he got so mad at me?
Well, that was because your mom was coming to stay.
No.
Oh, this I thought I was different?
No, this was a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Back in the year of 2020, I was going to my mom's house to spend time there and Neil was getting alone time all the time.
Yeah.
And I said, please, can you go to your mom's house for 24 hours? I just need 24 hours by myself in my own home.
Yeah.
And he got so mad at me. Do you think that was an unreasonable ask?
I would have maybe offered to go to a hotel. I think kicking your own husband out of his own house, maybe I can see why that maybe went sideways. But your needing alone time is not an unreasonable request at all.
Yeah.
At all.
You know what? I would be amiss if I didn't mention that the term revenge paired with bedtime comes from the Chinese.
Okay.
They are the first ones to sort of like come up with the concept that when you work 12-hour days, you come home and then you don't go to bed just because you've had like a really busy day.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So NPR talked to Lauren Whitehurst. She's a cognitive neuroscientist and a sleep researcher at the University of Kentucky. And she made a really interesting point. And this sort of alludes to Americans. We're so obsessed with being uber efficient.
Oh, yeah. Rise and grind.
Oh, I hate it. She said, revenge bedtime procrastination is not the inability to sleep. It is a commentary on our lack of downtime.
Yeah.
So Americans, unlike other cultures, we do not build in downtime.
No. If you have free hours, you are trying to figure out everything you can get done.
Yes.
In those few hours.
Few hours. And we've also covered this on another topic on the podcast where when you consider a mental health break, it's like something that people do when they're like self-centered or it's frou-frou. It's a luxury to have a mental health break.
Yeah.
But really, you need these mental health breaks during the day.
Yeah.
And that's the downtime that people crave that they're not getting. And that's why they're staying up late at night. They're forcing themselves to stay awake because they're not giving themselves these little breaks during the day.
Right. Yep, exactly.
And you talk about napping a lot. Do you feel refreshed when you take a nap?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes it's just because I've used all of the motivation or all of like the, not propulsion, but you know, like the energy that I've had to do as much as I can get done and I have nothing left to give. So I will take like a 20-minute nap in the middle of the day. And when I wake up, I feel like, okay, I can do a few more things.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, it's purely to give my brain a restart to try and refill that empty cup, because by the end of the day, I'm done. I sometimes go to bed early because I just have nothing left to give.
Yeah.
And I can't even be awake anymore.
And sometimes when I give myself a break, I looked at my phone and it's like a phone break. And I shouldn't be looking at my dang phone.
I know, but I do the exact same thing. It's like, oh, thank God I have time. Okay, how can I frazzle myself further?
Yeah. And sometimes Neil and I will look at each other at the end of the day and we'll be like, look how much we got done today.
Yeah. Look how productive we were.
Yes. Yeah. And our productivity is how we base having a great day. And it is such absolute BS.
Well, and based on my own experience, every single day I finish the day feeling drained and awful. That is not the mark of a good day.
Yeah.
But apparently it's like, but I got everything done.
No, yes, you should not end the day feeling drained and awful.
Yeah.
We're all doing too much. Like, for instance, yesterday,
yeah,
I did do a little bit of revenge bedtime last night because, long story short, my AC is broken. I had to cancel my vacation. I'm living with my mom. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm in a house with my mom and Neil. Neil goes to bed, and then my mom stays up, and my mom and I stay up, continue watching TV. Then my mom goes to bed.
Yeah.
And then even though I was tired,
yeah,
and even though I had to be up early today, I stayed up.
So what time did your mom go to bed?
She went to bed at 11.
Okay. And how late did you stay up?
I went to bed at 12:45.
And what time did Neil go to bed?
He went to bed at 9.
Were you tired at 9?
Oh, sure.
And you stayed up, you said 12:45 you went to bed?
12:45.
That's almost 4 hours extra that you could have gotten of sleep.
Okay. And not only did I stay up, Bethany, you know what I was watching? I was watching episodes of Only Murders in the House, in the building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I've already seen.
Oh, you've already seen them. Okay.
Because I think it's my new favorite comfort show.
Sure. We all need those.
You know, like, yeah. I think I'm done with Law and Order.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's your comfort show?
Mine is, oh gosh, I think the movie Clue. I put on in the background. Otherwise, it's Midsummer Murders.
Yeah.
I have seen every one of those episodes like 5 times. I already know. My friend once said, hey, Bethany, you know that episode of Midsummer Murders? And I just said, yes, because it didn't matter what he was about to say. I knew which one it was.
And so not only did I stay up late.
Yeah.
And this is something I've been working on with my nutritionist about building in a routine for bedtime.
Ooh, yeah.
Not only does it cater to better sleep hygiene, it helps me avoid revenge bedtime procrastination.
Sure.
Because I stayed up, and to stay up, I needed fuel. And so I went to the kitchen and I had like a yogurt bar and then I had some chips and then I had 2 glasses of wine.
Sure.
And then before I know it, I have stayed up. I have consumed calories that my body didn't really need for energy.
Sure.
Because I shouldn't have been awake in the first place.
And alcohol before bed actually makes it harder to sleep.
And then I woke up the next day feeling groggy.
Sure, yeah.
All because I felt like I didn't get enough alone time during the day. And that's on me. It's not because I'm living in an environment with my mom and Neil. Like, by all means, I could have popped in my earbuds, noise canceling, gone out in the yard during the day, gotten some exercise, tinkered around, and then gotten that alone time outside.
Yeah.
And I think half of the battle around the conversation with revenge bedtime procrastination is just A, knowing what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
And B, identifying your behaviors.
So why do you think you didn't pop in your earbuds and like hang out in the yard?
Because I was sleeping.
Wait, okay, so you were asleep during the day.
Because I did it the night before, too.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is really, really interesting. So you're basically doing shift work, even though you're not doing shift work.
Yes. Now, okay, let me ask you.
Yeah.
You're about to move in with Dennis, your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I am wondering, and I know it's a lot to do with your personality and how punctual you are and how you like your days structured.
Yeah.
But you don't really partake in bedtime, revenge bedtime, right?
No. Probably the opposite, just because sleeping is my favorite.
I wonder if it's because you live alone. Because when Neil's not home.
Yeah.
I go to bed.
Because you've had so much time alone anyway.
Yes.
This is really interesting.
Because I get to go to my bed and be alone in my bed.
Yeah. Oh, this is so interesting. This, okay, let's put a pin in that because,
yeah.
And let's check back in because we'll be living together as of August 1st, so in just a few days.
Yeah.
And if this were a movie, it would be a smash cut from you asking that question to like 2 weeks later and I'm just ragged.
Yes.
And like exhausted and not sleeping because I'm just like, I have to have alone time.
Yes. I'm like really, really curious.
That's a very astute observation.
I'm very curious to see how this transitions. For you.
Yeah.
Because I think being alone, it makes it easier living alone.
Totally. Because also,
yeah,
no one's judging me for anything I do. Not that he judges me, but like there's no one saying to me, you should go to bed or you shouldn't go to bed. And so there's no pressure. And then if something isn't, you know, made evil, then you don't have a draw to do it or not do it, right? It's just like there's no judgment.
It's so weird that you say that about the judgment.
Yeah.
Because a contentious point in my relationship, and I talked about this on the live show with Neil, is that I often fall asleep on the couch. And I know that he gets really, really mad at me because, and I get it. It makes him feel like I don't want to share my marital bed with him.
Sure.
Right?
I love that you call it the marital bed.
He feels rejected.
Yeah.
But then also it puts pressure on me to feel tired at a certain time.
Yeah.
And the independent woman in me, the independent sleeper in me is like, no, I'm not tired yet. I make my own schedule and I live my own life on my own schedule.
I'm an independent woman.
I know.
I'm going to say no to the patriarchy by staying up late.
And just ruining my day and my life by being tired all the time. I never thought about the pressure that he puts on me to go to bed.
Well, and I think then it comes with a whole bunch of other stuff where it's like, well, now I feel like I'm not being nice to my husband or I'm letting my husband down. And that's so much pressure to put on a bedtime.
Yes.
But you can also see his side of it where he's like, I want to cuddle up with my wife.
But then in the same respect, when I go to bed, he's like, I'm so proud of you.
Which is like, don't be proud of me for going to bed.
Yeah, don't be proud of me. But also like it puts an invisible pressure on making him proud.
Yeah. It's so weird. You don't realize how much we affect each other by just the little things we say.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably has no idea that him saying that like bugs you, but or maybe he does. I don't know. But like,
no, I don't think I realized that until you
just now.
Yeah, just now.
So fraught.
So the Sleep Foundation has whittled down three behavioral factors that contribute to revenge bedtime procrastination, because staying up late doesn't equate revenge bedtime automatically. So a telltale sign is if your behavior fits into one of these three categories. You delay going to sleep even though you know that there are going to be negative consequences the next day.
Okay.
You delay going to sleep even though you know that it's going to reduce your sleep time.
Okay. Yep.
Or you stay up late with no valid reason and you know that there's no valid reason.
Yeah.
And you sort of like use an external event as a reason to stay up late, aka binge watching.
Oh, so you're like, you know, you should get some sleep, but you're telling yourself, oh, just one more episode. Or if I don't watch this episode now, I'm not going to have time or whatever.
And you know that that is not a valid reason.
Yeah.
And sometimes you tinker around the house doing things.
Like
you wash dishes that don't need to be washed. And you know in your head that it would serve you better to go to bed.
Yeah.
But you do these other things anyway.
It sounds like any addictive habit. Right. Like, I know I shouldn't have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
I have a presentation tomorrow.
Yeah.
I told my family I wouldn't drink anymore. There's no reason for me to have a drink right now. No one else is around and I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. I shouldn't snort this 8 ball of crack.
Yeah.
I don't know drugs very well.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't lick this acid sticker.
Stamp.
But I'm going to do it anyway.
And it's not just doing things outside of bed. It also is getting into bed and then looking at your phone, even though you shouldn't be looking at your phone.
And we all know we shouldn't be looking at our phone. We all do it anyway.
We all do it anyway.
Yep.
I do it every night.
Oh, for sure. I do it every night, too.
I
do it more. If Dennis is over, I do it way less because I know he keeps his phone in the other room and doesn't. So I'm like, well, then I'm just going to act like I don't also look at my phone.
Wait, he actively leaves his phone in the other room and goes to bed?
Yeah.
But what if there's an emergency?
I think he has it on that setting where like a certain couple phone numbers will come through if there's a phone call, but everything else goes to like do not disturb.
Wow.
Yeah. He keeps his phone in the kitchen and then he goes to bed in the bedroom.
That is a foreign concept to me.
But sleep is really hard for him. And so he is actively working on, you know, his sleep. What's it called? Sleep
hygiene.
Sleep hygiene. I always want to say etiquette, but I know that's not right.
That's really funny. Yeah. Sleep etiquette.
Yeah.
Make sure you turn down the bottom sheet and then slip in and don't. I can't sleep when the bottom sheet is or the top sheet rather is tucked in at the bottom of the bed.
Oh, yeah, it's like, what am I being suffocated? Oh. What is this? A straitjacket?
I mean, there are some people who sleep so stilly with all the sheets tucked in that when they get out, they just have to like move one corner back.
What's that like?
And the bed looks like it was made again. I can't.
What?
I can't. I sleep with my blankets everywhere.
Oh, I sleep like a starfish.
So for people like me who have ADHD, mm-hmm. we're more prone to behaviors like revenge bedtime procrastination. Because
okay.
we're just more prone to procrastination in general.
Gotcha.
And this ADHD magazine is called...
Wait, there's an ADHD magazine?
It's called Attitude.
Wait. Can I make an inappropriate joke?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do the articles start with like, here are some behaviors to improve your ADHD? Oh my God, a dog! The magazine never gets finished.
Bethany, you know what? That's pretty good. That's,
I can make that joke because I opened a door once for a person with ADHD. I'm an ally.
Bethany, your business partner is ADHD.
Yeah, I know one.
I am an ally to the pale people because my business partner has reactions to the sun.
She gets real bitchy. That's the reaction.
So in the ADHD world, and I want to share the reasons why ADHD people are more prone, because even if you're not diagnosed, I think that there's a lot of truth in these reasons why undiagnosed people are just, you know, like regular brain dopamine people. To regain control of the day, that's obvious, but stimulation too, because if your brain hasn't been stimulated enough throughout the day, then you need to rush to get that stimulation in before you go to sleep.
Oh my gosh.
And for me, that sort of nighttime stimulation comes when I don't feel productive enough during the day.
Okay, so you need productivity to make your brain feel like it's been worked hard enough.
Yes, yes. But then it also goes back into American standards of productivity are unreachable, unsustainable. And if I don't feel like I've gotten enough done during the day, I haven't had enough brain stimulation during the day, I then stay up because I don't yet deserve to go to sleep. It's a form of self-punishment for me.
Do you think that your brain doesn't actually feel like it's gotten enough stimulation, or do you feel like society tells you your brain has not done enough?
I think a little bit of both.
Okay.
Definitely a little bit of both. And rumination. Sometimes people don't want to go to sleep because they get into bed and their mind is still active.
Yeah.
And they don't even want to be alone with their active thoughts.
Sure.
And they just binge watch stuff and then they stay up late.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I think that's a really good reason. Both ADHD and non-ADHD people share.
Yeah.
Also, for me, time blindness.
Yes.
This is something that I am always trying to work on. Sometimes I'm really great at it. Sometimes I'm really not. Bethany is smiling at me because you're so good at time management.
Yeah.
And you're punctual and I am time blind.
It's really interesting because I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah.
And I mean this like with zero judgment until I met you, because there are certain things about podcasting where time is really important.
Yes.
And I'm truly like, I'm saying this without, I really don't want you to feel judged. No. It's really interesting. So like we, pulling the curtain back, like we try to keep our segments in the middle, segments 2 and 3, about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And when we're doing our segments, I can see that like, time just doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist for me.
And like when we do commercials, the commercials need to be like 1 to 2 minutes. And we'll be like, okay, 1 to 2 minutes. And we'll start our timers on our phones. Uh-huh. And then 5 minutes later, the commercial's done. It's like, it's just so interesting because it truly does not. Your brain doesn't recognize it in the same way that my brain, you can put me outside and I will be lost immediately.
Yeah.
I do not have any concept of direction. Yeah. There's no concept whatsoever in my brain.
And you also have facial blindness.
And I also have facial blindness.
So look at us. We're just blind together.
We're a mess. So,
God forbid, Bethany, you and I had to do like facial recognition activities, like a facial recognition. Oh my God, say we were spies.
Yeah.
And the only way to get out of this Russian prison was for us to do a timed facial recognition exercise.
Oh my gosh. Between the two of us, we would die immediately.
Yeah, we would live in Moscow forever.
Forever
and ever.
We'd be dead.
And listen, everybody needs uninterrupted me time.
Of course.
And me time is not for people who are indulgent or lazy. Me time is for freaking everybody. Please never forget that. And I think for parents of young children, they stay up late after they put their kids to bed because they need time without the kids.
Of course.
I totally get that. People with high stress jobs, they need to come home and just sort of like decompress.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get into bed and decompress when somebody else is there sleeping next to you.
Totally.
And sometimes people will do things like open their phones and go online shopping.
Mm-hmm.
What is something that you bought recently late at night?
Two Billy bookcases.
Oh,
from IKEA.
Oh, Bethany, I love the Billy book.
Thank
you. Did
you
get the navy blue ones?
They didn't have navy blue as an option.
Oh, I just saw it in IKEA this weekend.
Well, I'm painting them anyway, so it's not a big deal.
All right. Okay, cool. And something else that's really interesting about revenge bedtime procrastination is that our self-regulation / self-control is at its lowest capacity at the end of the day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so that's why a lot of us make bad decisions at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Studies show that students and women sometimes are more likely to, adhere to revenge bedtime procrastination. But this is still such like an early concept that there's not a lot of research that can really like nail down.
Yeah, here's why and here's how.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know something called a chronotype?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just learned about chronotypes. And everybody, there's four different chronotypes, and it basically is the difference between being an early riser or a night owl.
Is this the one where it's like different animals?
Yeah, it's different
animals.
I'm a
lion.
Because you're an early riser. You get all of your good stuff done early in the day.
Yeah.
And so I guess if you are a night owl, you're more prone to bedtime procrastination. If you are practicing revenge bedtime, you have impaired cognitive function, like your memory, you can't concentrate.
Sure.
Your immune system is weak. You have a dysregulated metabolism. You have anxiety. And you're more likely to die.
Oh, God.
I know. And it's also not going to come as a surprise when I tell you that exercising during the day can help improve your circadian clock. Following a bedtime, avoid screens, avoid naps during the day. Those are all good things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that by having this conversation today, somebody who didn't realize what they were doing now realizes what they were doing.
I guarantee you just made a lot of people go, oh my gosh, that's me.
Yeah. So building your routine at night is the best thing that you can do to yourself.
Amazing.
Or do for yourself, rather.
Or do with yourself and on yourself.
So, Bethany, I had a flight that was super delayed last night, and I didn't get home until 2:00 in the morning.
Oh, brutal.
And I kind of had a feeling that something like this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I made sure to pack my next Evo CBD sleep aids.
Yes.
And right as the plane landed, I took one. And they say you can take like up to two or three. So I took one as the plane landed. In the Uber on the way home, I took another one. And unlike other times when I've gotten home and my brain is racing, I need to watch TV and I need to do all this stuff before I actually feel calm enough to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I just took a shower, put on my pajamas, got into bed and went to sleep. And that was a first for me. And it was all thanks to Next Evo.
That makes me so happy, Kathleen, because I know sleep time is a really big struggle for you.
Yes.
If you have never tried CBD, gentle listener, or if you're a little nervous about it, Kathleen and I really, really love it. And Next Evo is the company that is going to take your hand and walk you into this world.
Yes.
They have developed something called Smart Sorb technology. This basically improves CBD's ability to be absorbed by your body, and it gets into your system in as little as 10 minutes. And it's not THC. It doesn't get you high. CBD takes the edge off of your stress, or if you're feeling anxious, if you're having trouble sleeping, I take the CBD that has melatonin in it.
Yeah.
I think the same one you took,
yes,
which helps you sleep. But they also have CBD that you can take in a gummy. They have the capsules. They have so many options.
Yes.
And it just helps sort of take the edge off of the daily stress of life.
And I can't even tell you, Bethany, today I'm tired, but I still feel prepared for the day because I was able to go to sleep as soon as I got home. I made better food decisions this morning when I woke up because I was well rested, as opposed to other times when I haven't taken my next Evo CBD capsules.
Yeah.
And so it really has like set me up for an amazing day today, even though I took it last night.
It's just like a tool for your arsenal.
Yes.
For getting through daily life.
That's the best way to describe it.
So stop wondering if CBD is right for you. Try Next Evo Naturals capsules, gummies, mints, and topical creams, clinically proven to be better absorbed by your body.
Get 25% off of your first order of $40 or more at nextevo.com with the promo code TASTE.
That's 25% off at nextevo.com, promo code TASTE.
We didn't even mention they were vegan.
They're vegan!
And gluten-free!
Kathleen, I'm holding in my sweaty hands this book by Anne Druffel.
Oh.
What does it say on the cover?
How to Defend Yourself Against Alien Abduction.
Yeah, baby.
Amazing.
This is by this delightful woman,
yeah,
who I discovered on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. No, not George Norrie, Art Bell at the time.
Is the answer a tinfoil hat?
No, but some of the answers are equally as delightful.
Ooh, okay.
So this was written in 1998. Anne Druffel is a woman born and raised in California who speaks with a Midwestern accent, and we cannot figure out why.
Oh, yeah, you talked about her before.
Yeah. She's wild. She looks like your mom's friend, she looks like your friend's mom.
Okay, yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And she just found herself in this world of alien investigation. She did a lot of case studies, going through studies of people who had been abducted, things that that they all had in common. And then she discovered that people were using these different ways to defend themselves and that they worked.
Against alien abduction.
Yeah. So this book goes into like a lot of what are aliens, blah, blah, blah. My favorite title is called literally, what on earth is going on?
Well, it's not going on Earth. It's going on in space.
But it's also going on Earth. So I'm not going to go through like how she came about all this information, yeah, and all the case studies. Blah,
I mean,
blah.
The internet.
Internet. Well, and this was pre-internet. She was doing this in like the 70s and 80s.
Oh my God. Would she go to the archives of the library and look up aliens?
Yeah, she'd go on the microfiche. She'd go to conferences where people were talking about their alien experiences. And she became friends with a lot of these abductees.
You know, I think in general, everybody should be going to more conferences.
For sure.
I'm going to a conference this week.
What's it about?
DIY.
Ooh.
It's for DIY influencers.
Oh my God, Kathleen. What panels are you going to sit in on?
Oh, I haven't decided yet. But
what panels are they offering?
I don't know, but anything where anyone mentions shiplap, yep, I'm out.
Mod Podge for the new generation. Okay, Kathleen, I'm going to go through some of the resistance techniques.
Okay.
So if you find yourself in the throes of an abduction.
Okay.
Okay. So the first resistance technique that she describes, mm-hmm, is mental struggle. Okay.
Oh.
Now, this is the most commonly reported form of protecting yourself against aliens.
Okay.
Okay. It is most effective against the first stages of abduction, which are like, you see the light.
Yes.
And then you get paralyzed.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah. You're sitting, it's nighttime, you're,
yep,
in your backyard, sitting in a lawn chair,
yep,
enjoying a cup of chamomile tea.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden, there's a spotlight on,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like one of the stages of alien abduction, she says, is a general feeling of calm and well-being, which she says the aliens make you feel so you don't fight back.
Oh.
So you better start doing these resistance techniques before you feel calm.
Oh, I mean, because resistance techniques are really just, I don't know, muscle memory.
Muscle memory, yeah, totally an instinct. So she says in order to utilize mental struggle,
yeah,
you have to have a feeling of confidence that the technique will be effective.
Okay.
Similar to that that malarkey body regulating heat watch that that company tried to make us endorse?
Yes.
Where they were like, it'll get hot and cold only on your wrist and it'll make your whole body feel hot and cold. And when I said it doesn't work for me, the creator of the company said, you have to work with it and believe it's working.
And they, when we said we didn't want to endorse it because we didn't believe in the technology, they're like, send us your watches back.
Then send it back.
And I didn't send it back for a year and a half and nobody said anything to me.
No one said a word. I sent mine back immediately because I'm a rule follower. Okay, so this is a silent technique.
Okay.
You don't have to say anything.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to scream or swear at anyone.
Okay.
Unlike future techniques we're going to be talking about.
Okay, cool, 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 cool.
And if you are doing this for the first time, Kathleen, you can feel confidence in the knowledge that this has worked for others. And so it is possible it will work for you as well.
Very exciting.
Okay. Numerous people who have successfully used mental struggle, and I will describe what it is in a moment, report back that the intruding creatures, aka the aliens, almost invariably reacted with surprise when the humans showed resistance.
Oh.
This seems to prove that the creatures feed on your fear.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So you just have to... So, okay, can we clarify?
Of course.
You're in your lawn chair.
Yeah.
They're trying to suck you up.
Yeah.
And so in your head, you just think of strength?
Yes. Here's what you do, Kathleen.
Uh-huh.
Mental struggle involves sustained willpower.
Okay.
While attempting to move some small part of your body because now you are paralyzed.
Okay.
It's a lot actually like nightmare paralysis.
Yeah.
Like when you feel like, you know, the what's the night terrors? Not night terrors.
Sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
They say that you need to try and focus on moving one part of your body. And often if you're able to move like your thumb or your pinky, it'll break it.
Ah.
So you have to lay there
mm-hmm.
and use all of your internal effort to move your thumb
mm-hmm.
or move a toe.
Okay.
You also have to truly believe that you are a person with rights, says Anne. You have to feel that you have the inalienable right to be safe from aliens who want to hurt you.
This sounds a lot like when you think of baseball when you're doing the dirty and you're trying not to, you know, get the big O.
You have to do your multiplication tables as you're thrusting and believe that you won't hit the big one.
You cannot paralyze me. I am stronger than your beam.
So also you have to have inner assurance that the technique will work just as well for you as it does for people who are braver than you.
It sounds a lot like when I think maybe I have hidden powers to move things.
Yes.
And I stare at a cup and I try to knock it over with my eyes.
You just hold your hand out.
Yeah.
Trying to move the towel across the counter.
Like Elle from Stranger Things when she lost her powers.
Yeah.
And she gets really mad. She holds her hand out, but then nothing comes
nothing
out.
Happens. And then every time I try to do it, I look in the mirror. My nose isn't bloody. And I'm like, it's not working. Here's someone who used it. A chick named Emily Cronin.
Oh.
In the spring of 1956, she was traveling in the car in a mountainous area with her roommate, Jan.
Oh, Jan. It's always a Jan.
It's a Jan, especially in the 50s.
Yeah.
So they were driving, 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 and apparently they got abducted, or at least tried. The aliens tried.
They tried.
They tried, and they were both frozen, and then Emily was able to concentrate, and she was able to move a finger, and then everything was fine.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Yeah. And by the way, she broke the paralysis for both women by doing that. So.
Oh, God, her brain must be...
amazing.
Dead, I don't know what they call it, deadlifting?
Deadlifting.
Dead thigh lifting?
Yeah, when you have no help, you're just lifting dead weight.
You're dead. She must lift 200 pounds.
With her brain all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another resistance technique. This is number two. Physical struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is great. Now, you want to do this one before the paralysis sets in again.
Uh-huh.
And if the paralysis does set in, you're going to want to use mental struggle. See also number one.
Okay.
You also need to know and have a strong sense that your rights have been violated.
You will not violate me.
Yep. You can use your hands, but also you can use weapons.
Okay.
But she says, do not shoot a gun in an urban or suburban area where small children or innocent bystanders may be jeopardized.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you may shoot the alien.
Can can you imagine going on a date? Say you're on a dating app and you meet a guy for drinks and you're like, wow, you're in very good shape. Uh-huh. You must work out a lot. And he's like, yeah, I'm always training for alien abduction.
Yeah, that's where the date ends.
It's step number two, physical defense.
As Anne Druffel said in her 1998 book.
Do you want to come to my meetup about alien abductions?
Okay, so here's how you do physical struggle. We're going to learn from a woman named Patsy.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Patsy, in the winter of 1985, she was in bed with her husband.
Uh-huh.
All right. And she had not been in her bed for very long when she noticed a beam of light was flooding the bedroom.
Oh.
Now, not to be mistaken for the first beam of light, which was the hall light.
Okay.
There was a second beam of light.
Was it Christmas time? Was it the neighbor's Christmas lights?
Unknown.
Unknown. Okay.
Unknown. They don't specify. Okay. But these three entities, she said, marched into her bedroom in lockstep. All right.
Through the door, through the window, through the beam.
Also unknown.
Okay.
And the one in the middle was a little bit taller. The one in the middle, we'll call this one the Beyonce of the aliens.
Uh-huh.
All right. She was so mad.
Yeah.
That she got up
because
they had been doing this for many nights in a row now, and she hadn't been getting very good sleep.
Oh, and so they didn't go to a hotel or anything?
No, not at all. But she just was filled with rage. She was like, another night I'm not going to get any sleep. And this made her so angry, Kathleen, that she walked up to the middle alien, the Beyonce one, and she grabbed its neck, and she said it snapped like a twig, and the alien's head fell backward on its body.
Oh, my God.
She said his neck just broke.
Oh, my God. Poor Beyonce. Alien Beyonce.
I know. Now, the other two aliens, you may think they were, like, going to take revenge or something. They seemed more shocked than anything else.
Yeah,
And they sort of supported the alien Beyonce, and they just left her alone.
I mean, when you are under attack and you shock your attacker, it is those vital moments.
Yeah, you can't waste them.
That you have to get ahead.
Yeah, you got it. Then you can't just be like, whoa, I did it. You got to then, you know, bam, bam, bam with your gun.
Yeah.
All right?
Like, you know what I don't get? When in a movie, when someone is being attacked and they hit their attacker and then they try to get away. No,
kill
the attacker is down. Keep
kill
attacking.
Them. Kill them.
And like, of course that attacker is going to get up and keep chasing you. Yeah. I never understand
it's
that.
It's so stupid. If you have them down more.
Yeah.
Put the whatever through their whatever to die them.
Don't just knock them in the back of the head with the fire poker. Put the fire poker through their dang heart.
Right. And if you're like, well, I have to, I'm going to scramble up with the person they were about to kill. We'll kill them first.
Oh my God.
All right. Technique number three.
Okay.
Similar to what we're feeling right now.
Uh-huh.
Righteous anger. Now, this is effective when used in the initial stages of abduction as well, before you get paralyzed.
Oh.
Okay. Now, even if you feel like you're not brave.
Yeah.
You can learn to use this effectively by increasing your understanding that your rights are being violated by the aliens.
So many rights being violated.
Okay. This technique is best combined with strong commands. This is where you get to swear.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Okay. So it is also important that it must be controlled.
Oh.
Okay. Righteous anger can't be like just rage willy-nilly because you won't be able to control yourself or the aliens. You need to like be calm in your rage.
Oh, so I can't just spat off like, screw you, alien, and your mom.
No. No mom comments.
I have to do like the kind of screaming where bats fly out of my mouth.
Yeah. You have to know why you're mad.
Yeah.
Focus.
Yes.
And then harness.
Okay.
Okay. So this is an example. A woman named Jan Whitley.
Uh-huh. Another Jan.
Yeah, Jan. So in 1953, she was living in an isolated cabin with her roommate, Sarah Shaw, which was not Sarah's real name.
Okay.
Okay. She was in her 20s. Now, they got abducted. They got an alien again.
Yeah.
Light coming in their bedroom. They were like, there was this fear and they lost a bunch of time.
Yeah.
So like she went to look at where the light was coming from and all of a sudden it was like 2 a.m. And she was like, that's weird. That was a mystery for 20 years until 75 when she went to MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, and was like, I got this experience. And they started, Kathleen, doing hypnotization.
Oh.
Hypnosis.
Oh.
And she went back in time. Okay. She realized that the aliens had gone through a closed window. And she was quickly rendered calm, like we say is going to happen.
Yeah, they paralyze her.
Yep. And she realized that her roommate, Jan, was physically stronger than herself And she said that that was maybe why Jan was more resistant to these entities. Jan struggled and fought with them.
Yeah.
Fought. And then when they later were abducted and they were in an alien spacecraft,
oh my God.
She then looked over and saw Jan fighting again.
Yeah.
Okay, so then she did some more like looking back through hypnosis and realized that they had been repeatedly visited by these aliens. And at this point, she'd gotten really strong mentally because she was used to these guys coming now.
Yeah.
And in an interview, she said that there were only mental push and pull situations, which were super disturbing. Like they were trying to gain control over her brain and she was trying to wrench her brain back. She said, finally, she got angry and told them to go away. And they did.
Oh, that's all it took.
That's literally, Kathleen, all it took.
It sounds like when in a movie somebody swallows another soul.
Yeah.
And it's like the different souls are trying to occupy the same body and they keep fighting each other.
Yeah, exactly. And they just go away. And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Resistance technique number four.
Okay.
Protective rage.
Oh.
Which sounds similar to righteous anger.
Protective rage would be a really good, I don't know, like metal band.
Yeah, totally.
And everybody dressed like aliens, show up dressing like aliens.
Yeah.
Like kids do at Harry Potter movies.
Completely. Kids are weird. Okay, so protective rage, it's like righteous anger, but even stronger because this time you're not mad about your own abduction.
Yeah.
You're mad that your family or loved ones are being threatened.
Oh.
This is where you want to be using rejecting statements, even well-chosen curses, hurled towards the intruders.
Oh, well, what would be a well-chosen curse?
Well, thanks for asking.
Fuck you.
Yeah. So she says protective rage uses violent language. Well-chosen curses can be used if the experiencer is acquainted with any.
Hmm.
Then she says...
Wait, so this is not going to work if you're too much of like a proper human.
Yeah, if it's not natural to you, you can't be like, well, damn it, fuck you.
Or fudge you.
Yeah, they're going to see right through that.
You mother clucker.
Yeah. No, don't do that. But she then says, the Irish, for example, have rather charming curses that are not only effective, but humorous.
Oh, okay, good, my people.
Yeah. So she doesn't specify what those charming curses are, but I did Google some.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm going to give you some that the internet told me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, for fuck's sake, men, you're some dry shite, is what you could say. Or you could call him a gobshite, which is also apparently fun. Or my favorite... Oh, you dumb fuck. You could peel an orange in your pocket.
There's this viral video going around of this mom with her toddler. And the mom has the phone videoing in selfie mode. And she says something to the daughter. And the daughter, she's barely two. She goes, ah, for fuck's sake. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
That kid could defend itself against aliens.
Oh, well, good thing.
Okay. P.S. You want to try to use protective rage right away. Did I already say that?
Protective rage. Okay.
Okay. This was used successfully by a woman named Morgana Van Clausen. Definitely not her real name.
Morgana.
Yeah. Van Clausen.
Okay.
Her family started getting visitations in 1986 through 1991. At this point, she realized that her son also mentioned being abducted by aliens, although he called them clowns, which is skin crawling.
They don't even look alike.
Yeah.
What do you?
I don't know.
Did you think the aliens came dressed as clowns?
Jesus Christ. Can you imagine?
Because there's only one thing scarier than an alien.
Clowns.
A clown.
Speaking of, if you love horror novels and you hate clowns, Dead White is a book you're going to want to read.
Oh.
Or not read, as the case may be.
Okay, cool.
So her husband was like, you're not being abducted by aliens, you silly woman. And then one night he saw aliens and he was like, we got to fight these.
Of course he did.
So they finally realized that if they swore at it, even if the aliens weren't there, like during the day, she would just yell, keep out of my house and you're not wanted here. And they never showed up again.
You know, that is a technique that I think actually has some value.
Why?
Because not only does it apply to aliens, it also applies to like bad spirits, bad juju.
Well, Kathleen, interesting. You should bring that up.
Yeah.
I'm about to skip a bunch of the boring ones.
Okay.
Like support from family members.
Oh, yeah. Screw that.
Blah, blah, blah. Let's move on.
We need support from their family members when you're battling aliens.
Resistance technique number 9.
Yes.
Repellents.
Oh, like bear spray?
Kathleen. Motherfucking bear spray.
Okay.
Okay. Like our foremothers used in the form of herbs, flower essences, essential oils, St. John's wort, pennyroyal, salt, and iron bars or crucifixes. Now, this is where it becomes interesting.
Okay.
Because she sort of starts to muddle what she's talking about in the next few pages, and all of a sudden she's talking about the Fae. The fairy people. Certain herbs and essential oils were recognized traditionally as having the ability to chase off bad fairies and a host of other troublesome folkloric creatures.
I refuse to believe that there's such a thing as bad fairies.
Oh,
no.
Bad.
Only good fairies.
They're mischievous. They'll take your children.
No, really?
Yeah.
No, I call those trolls, the ones who take your children.
Changelings. They'll take your child.
Oh, man.
And they'll leave in its place a fairy child. A changeling.
I wonder, in the circle diagram, what do you call those?
Venn diagram?
A Venn diagram of people who believe that you need, what is this called?
Repellents.
In the Venn diagram of people who believe in alien repellents and those who are part of MLMs selling essential oils, how much overlap there is.
I mean, nothing in this book says to drink the essential oils, so I think that that's good at least.
Well, yeah, I mean, and also let's add one more layer to this Venn diagram. People who don't believe in modern medicine or vaccines.
I mean, I think that there's some of that.
There's definitely overlap there's in every category.
Because they do talk about magnets in this too.
Oh, no.
Okay, so here's Kathleen. Stop fooling around. This is important.
What do I need? Raw oregano or something?
So this says, many respected UFO researchers now hypothesize that the problem of so-called alien abduction takes place in altered states rather than in physical reality. So the same way we want to protect our spirits from demons using salt, we can use those same things against aliens. For example, when Sherry Poss and I used rings of salt to protect ourselves from the cemetery security guards when we snuck into the cemetery in Eau Claire on Halloween night, and it worked because the security guards did not find us.
Makes a lot of sense.
So here's an example.
Uh-huh.
Deborah Goodale Marchand said that the use of aromatherapy gave her hope that she can find a specific substance or a combination of substances that will ensure protection from entities that have harassed her for years. Now, one of the things that they specify.
I just thought of a new venture for my Pura plugin.
What's that?
Anti-alien essential oils.
Kathleen, it'll go so well. By the way, Anne Druffel first met this woman at a conference hosted by veteran UFO researcher and psychologist, Dr. R. Leo Sprinkle.
It really always scares me when these conspiracy theory believers are also like highly educated people.
They're doctors.
That really just scares the bejesus out of me.
Don't let it scare you. Let it give you hope.
Okay.
They're opening their minds.
Yeah. It means that we're all susceptible to any of this.
For sure. This chick also said, by the way, that many of the substances you can use to repel aliens can be obtained in any large health food store.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So let's specifically talk about pennyroyal.
What the heck is pennyroyal?
Hedyoma Pelagiotis. Uh-huh. It's a flower essence.
Yeah.
When it's used as a flower essence, it can ease nausea, nervous conditions, and skin problems. Traditionally, it is believed to repel thought forms, especially negative ones, and was used by Celtic people to ward off harassing fae.
Okay.
But, and this is where I wrote holy shit in the margins of the book, caution. Traditionally, pennyroyal was used to abort unwanted pregnancies.
Oh.
So be really careful if you're pregnant and you're trying to ward off aliens.
Yes. Yes.
Also, just FYI, pennyroyal.
Isn't that the name of the clown in It?
Pennywise.
Oh.
Probably related.
Okay.
Okay. You can also use yarrow.
What's yarrow?
You know, yarrow.
Is it a potato?
It's a
starchy vegetable?
It's, you know, yarrow.
Yarrow, okay.
It's also effective against extreme emotionalism, apparently, according to this book.
You know, Bethany, we're laughing about this, but I still see commercials for old people about ginkgo biloba and St. John's wort and all that stuff.
Looks, well, thank you for mentioning St. John's wort.
Yeah.
Okay, so that might be beneficial in preventing alien abductions. As a medicinal herb, it can help ease burns or wounds. Mm-hmm. It can help digestive and respiratory problems. It can help the depressed.
Yes.
Except I tried it. It didn't work for me. I'm too depressed.
We used to give my grandma St. John's wort without telling her.
Did it work?
It didn't work.
No.
Then she had to go on something called Paxil.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. By the way, I do believe in this stuff. Like, I do believe, like, if you are lightly depressed, St. John's wort may help.
Yeah. Also, but, you know, sunshine.
Yeah. I'm
laughter.
Also, I'm very depressed. I get the award for very depressed. If you use it as a flower essence, it can be a tonic that helps releases fear and paranoia.
Hmm.
And also can actually help, Kathleen, if you are an individual individual who astrally projects at night, if you send your soul beyond the realm of the physical and visit other lands in the night,
this can
help you.
Is that just called dreaming?
No. Astral projecting.
Okay.
By the way.
Yeah.
I just drew a witch's hat next to this part in the margins. Salt. Okay. Now, in the UFO field, there is a story currently circulating about a witness who kept her tormentors away by wringing the floor around her bed with salt. She gives no references and no sources for this information.
Okay.
I believe it.
You know, a really good business venture might be, Bethany, now that you're moving to the country and you're going to have a miter saw.
Yeah.
You could make a really decorative sort of circle that goes around your bed frame.
For sure.
That you fill with salt.
Oh, my God.
But then it has like a little cap on it.
Like a lid. Yeah.
So it's not going to spill. Your pets and your children aren't going to get into it.
Kathleen, that's such a good idea.
Right?
It's like a salt moat.
Yeah. And don't make it too expensive so then people buy it as a joke too.
Yes. Oh, that's a great point.
Right?
Kathleen, look at you.
I know.
So anyway, it might be helpful to mention, by the way, that fairies are, as indicated earlier, very similar to aliens. And she adds, since much folklore is based on truth, although probably tinged with embellishment,
it should not
be disregarded as useless.
Okay. Okay.
And by the way, Kathleen, in the fight against unidentified intruders, including the aliens, no method should be discarded out of hand, even if it is not entirely clear how or why it works.
Oh.
And that is how to defend yourself against alien abductions. Now, I may have read this with a bit of a tongue-in-cheek tone to my voice. I can promise you I believe 75% of what I just read.
I mean, I believe in UFOs and aliens.
Sure.
I don't know if they're going to try and paralyze me.
I think they are.
They'll just take me.
No. Paralysis is part of the process. Okay. Otherwise, you're going to fight back. That chick did who snapped the Beyonce's neck.
Yeah. And now that I know that I need to be mentally prepared for this, much like the nuclear meltdown video that New York City put out.
You got this.
Yeah.
Which literally ends with her saying, you got this.
Yeah. I mean, yes, of course, because living in Manhattan means that in the year 2022, we all need an informational PSA about how to survive in this city during a nuclear meltdown.
We'll link it in the show notes, but I did take a screenshot of it wherein she says, don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one is hit.
And yes, much like alien abduction, knowing that it may come makes you better prepared.
Yeah, just have fun with it. La, 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 la. Okay, so Kathleen, as you were saying at the end of segment one, you sent me a link yesterday to, was it a Facebook Marketplace ad?
It was a Facebook Marketplace that my friend had been to.
Yeah.
And I met up with her after, and she was telling me about this amazing 10,000 square foot brownstone in the middle of the East Village, like prime location where the woman inside had died.
Yeah.
And she was kind of living in squalor, but she had a lot of really interesting collections.
Yeah.
And my friend is like, I got this gold necklace for really cheap, and I got a bunch of depression glass and depression milk glass and stuff like that. And I said, this is right up Bethany's alley.
Yeah.
I sent you the link and I said, go.
Go. So I put a shirt on.
Yeah.
And I went.
Yeah.
And so I got there and you are right. Like this person was like one trip to Goodwill away from being a hoarder.
Yeah.
Like there was stuff everywhere. And it was so interesting because I met who I think is her son.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm so sorry for your loss. I didn't realize she had passed away back in April.
Yeah.
It's July now as we record this.
Yeah, so he's had time to heal.
But also he was just sitting in a chair with his leg crossed while I kind of looked around stuff. And he was like, it's okay. She was difficult.
Oh my God. So they didn't like her.
It seems like they did not like her.
And it's so sad to me.
Yeah.
Because I know possessions are just possessions.
Yeah.
But this was obviously a well-to-do woman.
Yes. She was a bit of a name in the art and I think theater world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a Broadway producer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And she had, and this is like, I only know this from talking to my friend who was there and you, but she had like amazing collections of all of different weird things,
right? Yeah, she did. And so she had like an art gallery and I was also talking with, I think, her daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
And the daughter-in-law was like, I don't know why, you know, a Jewish woman in Manhattan would need a collection of mallard ducks. And like, they were just, they both seemed so annoyed
yeah.
to have to be going through all of her stuff. And you made the point off the air, the brownstone is for sale.
Yeah.
They're about to make millions of dollars off, like tens of millions of dollars off the sale of this.
I mean, roughly, I mean, it looked like the inside of the house was still in good shape from yeah. the photos that I saw.
Yep.
So roughly, like the lowest number that they would get in today's market for this house would be like $25 million.
And they could not have seemed more frustrated. Like
yeah.
they were just annoyed that she had left all of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
They didn't like her in the first place. And apparently she died by falling down the stairs.
Very, very suspicious.
I mean, I'm not going to say
maybe
she was... But maybe she was,
I don't know.
You know, allegedly, you never know.
It's just, I understand her family not liking her because she was difficult or whatever. But at the same time, there's something so inherently just devastating about dying and nobody liked you.
Yeah.
Yep. And your life's possessions that you work so hard to curate.
Yeah.
Just letting the general public
walk right through,
walk into your home and buy whatever.
It felt so weird.
Yeah.
But they were all about it. Like, so I didn't really find anything that I could use or really wanted. It was a lot of interesting sort of knick-knacky stuff.
Yeah.
But I found this one turquoise pheasant statue with gold flecks all over it. And the pheasant looks angry. And so I said to the daughter-in-law, I was like, I got to take this very angry bird.
Yeah.
And she sold it to me for like $10. And she goes, if there's anything else you want here, I can like give you a package deal. Like they wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, I look around my apartment and the things that I have curated mm-hmm. through my travels
I know.
Of not leaving my house.
Yeah.
And I would be devastated to find out that just random people were going through my home and being like, oh, this isn't really worth anything. Or like, oh, I guess I'll just take this and like, you know, slap a coat of paint over it. But like, that's what had become of her. And
that's what happens to a lot of people.
Yeah. She just seemed like she was not very nice.
Yeah.
Allegedly, not to speak ill of the dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, and what was left behind was just like the detritus of a life and people who were just annoyed that they had to go through it.
This is giving me an idea.
What's that?
I think we all need to make a master list of our most coveted possessions.
Yes.
Things that if we imagine them being thrown in the trash, we just start to cry.
Yeah, like hurts your chest.
Hurts your chest cry. Because then at least you can go to your grave knowing that someone has a list of the things that mean the most to you.
Yes.
And then they can decide what to do.
So, Kathleen, what would be on your list?
Oh.
Please say your Vitamix.
You took the words. No, you literally took the words right out of my mouth.
I know you very well.
My Vitamix is definitely one.
Yeah.
I have a pair of pearls from Tiffany's.
Oh, wow.
That Neil gave me when we first moved in together. Of course, my engagement ring.
Yeah.
Right. I have just a pin, like an 80s sequined flower pin with beads that it's not worth anything, but it belonged to my grandmother.
Oh, I like that.
I have a handful of paintings, you know, just like little, and not paintings, like prints, you know. I'm not like an art collector or anything.
I have a Renoir that I just can't part with.
No. And beyond that, some dresses.
Sure.
Maybe that if I didn't have children, I would want my nieces to have.
Yes.
But I don't really have that much.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I would really have to go through my stuff and look through it. What about you?
The first thing that comes to mind is my baby blanket.
Yeah.
It's older than I am.
Oh.
My mom made it for me while she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I keep it in a drawer and I just smell it every once in a while because it smells like my childhood home.
Yeah.
The thought of someone else just buying that is like, bury me with that blanket.
Yeah.
So I have these two little Buddha statues.
Okay.
That I got in China at Epcot. But I got them.
Wait, you went to China?
At Epcot.
Oh.
Yeah. At Disney.
Okay, yeah.
but I got them on like a trip that was really important to me, and it's like fond memories. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of important to me, even though they're like Disneyland Buddhas.
Oh, my prom underwear.
That's right.
That's on my list. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. You're going to shadow box that
I'm
stuff,
I'm
going
to shadow box my prom underwear.
Yeah, for sure. and I'm trying to think of anything else. I have this raw, like, not iron, like aluminum baby giraffe statue that my dad bought for me because I really wanted it.
Yeah.
But he couldn't afford it when he found out how much it was. And then the salesperson at Pier One Import said, "Hi, I'm Amanda. What's your name?" And he was like, "This is my name." And she goes, "We're friends and family now." And she gave him the friends and family discount.
Amazing.
And then he could afford it. So that's like, I'm never getting rid of it.
It proves that all you have to do is be nice to people.
You just have to be nice to people.
They'll take back your returns when they're past due.
Yep.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So those kind of things. I think I love all of my things, but by and large, you know, like the baby blanket is probably number one.
What about your rug in your bedroom?
Love that fuzzy rug.
Yeah.
Love that fuzzy rug.
Yeah, you have to put that on the list for sure.
Yeah, it's a good rug.
Yeah.
What else? You know, like I have like, I think the things that mean the most to me are like Dennis has drawn me little pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Those things, like I keep all of them. And if someone ever looked at it and threw it in the trash, that guts me.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
Like, those things, my journals are sacred. I don't know.
I get it. I know, but one day it's going to be in the trash.
It's all going to be in the trash.
Oh my God, this is making me so sad.
I know. That's why we have to buy as much as we can now.
Yes.
We have to purchase.
Rack up debt.
Yeah. Just, you know what? We're all going to die anyway.
Lean into consumerism and take pictures of what you own and make other people jealous.
Exactly. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
Okay. I learned that, and I learned this from a taste bud in the Acquired Taste Facebook fan group.
Yeah.
If you purchase an Apple product at, let's say, a non-Apple store, like a Target or a Walmart or a Best Buy, you need to take it to the Apple store to get verified that it is an actual Apple product.
What the hell?
Because we had a taste bud who bought AirPods from her local Target, and she said they never really worked right, but she chalked it up to user error.
Sure.
And finally, they stopped working. Okay. They wouldn't charge anymore after only something like a year.
Whoa.
And they're an expensive item.
Yeah.
They really should last a minimum of like 2 or 3 years.
For sure.
So she goes to the Apple store and she's like, "I don't know what's the matter. Can you help me? Can you fix me? Like, why aren't they charging?" And they tell her that they're fake.
How can Target get away with selling fake Apple products?
So this is what happens. Sometimes it's employees. Sometimes it's people who purchase the things. They take them home. They flip them out with the fake ones that they bought. They put the little AirPods, you know, back into the case. And then they have things you can buy that seal up the box to make it look like it was never really opened. And then they return them.
Oh.
So it comes in Apple packaging. Another thing you can do to double check is plug it into your computer because it'll tell you what the serial number is and if it's still eligible for Apple Care and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I recently bought AirPods at Target because they're on sale and now I'm paranoid. Now I got to go to the Apple store and get them double checked.
I mean, I feel like Target needs to have some sort of way to check for this, but of course you can't like crack open every sealed pair of AirPods.
I know. You can't. It's just they don't have the manpower.
Yeah.
And Target now is to this taste bud like, "Okay, do you have the receipt?" "No, I don't have the receipt, but I have a serial number." But they're like, "Oh, we don't keep track of the serial numbers of all the Apple products that we sell."
They keep track of the card you use to buy it.
So she bought it with other things.
Oh, and she doesn't. Does she have the card she used?
She does, but they're like, "Exactly what day did you buy it on?" But she goes to Target all the time and bought it with other things, so she doesn't even know the exact day that she bought it on.
It seems like Target's being difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it was so long ago. They only hold on to the records for so long.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, Section 4 is a real downer.
Okay, well, you know what? I can lift it up.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, this is what I learned this week.
Okay.
Speaking of clutter and, like, decluttering your home, as you go through clutter to see if you want to keep something or to donate something, go with your immediate gut before your brain kicks in with all of the reasons why you should keep it. Because I'm a keeper.
Yeah.
And if I look at a t-shirt, for example, and my first reaction is like, ugh, but then it's like, yeah, but I only bought it just a few weeks ago, or yeah, like it reminds me, or maybe I'll wear it someday where I'm feeling cute and casual.
Yeah.
My initial reaction was, ugh, I need to donate it.
Yeah.
I have never regretted donating something that I immediately was like, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I have regretted donating something when my brain was like, oh, you really should get rid of this and declutter, even though my initial reaction was I loved it.
Yes.
So listen to your gut.
Yeah.
It will always tell you what you should do before your brain kicks in and starts trying to take over.
That is such good advice.
It's true, man.
Where can people find you on social media, Bethany?
Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. What about you, Kathleen?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything.
You can also find our show on social media.
At Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
At Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
At Acquired Taste Podcast on Facebook. Make sure you check out the fan group while you're there as well.
We have a P.O. Box, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
I just gotta say, every time I check our P.O. box, I feel really fancy. Like, oh, I'm so important.
I have a P.O. box. I have a P.O. box.
Our phone number where you can leave us a voicemail, we play them at the end of every episode, is 917-994-0353.
Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
Okay, it's time for your, your peaceful ending to the week.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, Bethany. Hey, Kathleen. I am so excited to finally call. I am a long-time caller, first-time listener. First-time caller, long-time listener. And I stopped listening for a while because of pandemic and stopped listening to podcasts. And then I caught up in the last 2 years and the last 2 months. So I'm super excited. I told myself I wasn't going to call until I was completely caught up. But I just listened to the April 20th podcast where you guys were talking about if you had a Groupon or gift card for a movie prop, what would it be? Well, mine wouldn't be movies. Mine would be a television show. I would definitely put that money on the hairbrush from Dawson's Creek where Pacey was brushing Joey's hair during their winter trip. Anyway, super excited to call. Thank you so much for listening. Bye. Oh, Pace Bud from Iowa. I don't think I said that. I'm all over the place. Bye.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Brady. I stopped the podcast just to share that chartreuse is also my favorite color. And anytime I tell somebody what my favorite color is and I say chartreuse, they're like, what? So I share this passion. I try and put it in my day, in my wardrobe, in my decor, anytime I possibly can. Thank you, Kathleen, for sharing my favorite color and sharing a love of chartreuse with me. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, it's Caitlin. I'm driving into work. I'm listening to episode 403 from the behind of most of my podcast. The conversation is about like return policies and fashion and stuff and kind of like the psychology of fashion and shopping. I have a friend who works at Nordstrom. I think she works in like the purse or handbag area. She gets her nails done in like bright colors or like fun colors because when she's showing customer purses, she thinks like when she shows it with like nicer nails, the more likely they're going to buy it. And I'm sure there's something behind that too, like the nicer you present, you know, with nails, the better. Something else I learned from her is that, I could be absolutely wrong, maybe I didn't listen right, but I'm pretty sure that she said this. When you like buy something from someone at Nordstrom, that person makes commission off your purchase, right? But if you return it at a later date or someone that you buy this a gift for your mom or your friend and they return the gift, that same person who sold you it, they also then lose the commission. So it could be 45 days and you do the return, but they get a loss on that too. So when you do shop a little consciously so because like you don't want them losing all the money. Anyway, drink water, live, laugh, love. I don't know. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Hello, 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 ladies. This is Melinda from Philadelphia, and I just have to say my socks were nearly blown off when I was listening to the most recent episode of The Check-In because Dennis and Bethany started talking about the neck fan. And as Bethany is talking about how she is so hot and all the time, I recently have, I don't know what happened after I had my third kid, but I am hot all the time. And I recently stumbled across a neck fan at Walmart. And can I just say, it has been the biggest blessing to me. I love it so much. I wear it all the time around the house and at work, not out in the public. But for those times you're sitting at work and it's insufferable, or when you're walking around the house cleaning and you're just hot for no reason, it is Excellent. Bethany, just do it. Don't think about it. Just do it. And then thank me and Dennis later. Bye, ladies. I love you all. And Dennis, I love you also, the honorary third member of the podcast. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Sarah from New York. This is my first time calling into you guys, but I'm currently listening to episode 405, and I had to pause it because I'm laughing hysterically at your made-up commercials. Please, please, please do a bonus episode one day of just that. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.